Tilda Swinton would make a good Bowie.
She would make a good Bowie. She makes a great Conan O'Brien.
She does.
It also sounds like we're talking like she's a bartender. Man, she'll make a great Tom Collins and a great David Bowie.
Dude, what would the Bowie drink be?
The Bowie drink would be milk with just a touch of Kahlua and a little bit of vodka.
That's practically a white Russian.
Yeah, it's served in a really thin glass, and you call it the Thin White Duke.
Oh, good call, dude. I think it's got to be weirder, though. It's got to be like goat's milk or something, just to be a bit odd like he was.
Almond milk.
Human breast milk.
These are the days I know. These are the days I know. I know. These are the days I know. Some of them are David's,
but most of us are Dave's.
They all have their own hands, but they come from different moms.
Welcome to Dave, episode 6. This week, the TV series Rescue Me episode, David.
We are the Dave's he knows, he knows. We are the Dave's he knows.
These are the days I know, I know.
We are the days he knows, he knows.
These are the days.
Hey everybody, welcome to Dave. I'm the Green Korean.
I'm Octopus Caveman.
And this is the Dave Podcast. How you doing, buddy?
It's been crazy busy, but good. Yeah. I've been doing a lot of monotonous work, so I've had a chance to listen to a lot of people's podcasts and make new friends.
Oh yeah, what'd you find?
Oh man, it's an unholy amount of podcasts that I've been listening to. Let's see. Let me bring up my players. I can read them off. Geek Yogurt, I just listened to one episode today. Loved nice. It. Those guys are great.
Yeah, good show.
The Drunken Dork. And that was weird because I jumped into a part two of an episode. And even in the beginning, they're like, yeah, don't make this your first episode ever. And I was like, fuck you. You don't tell me what to do. So I listened to it and then went back.
I love those guys. And they, by the way, are changing their show. By the time this show drops, they will have changed their show to Jake and Tom Conquer the World.
The Recovering Alcoholic Dork. I know how it goes, guys. And then, there's so many, man. So many to name. Rebel Scum Report. I grinded that yesterday, every episode. Nice. It's fantastic. I dig it. The Something Something Podcast.
Yeah. So you're geek tear.
Yeah, and I have a new goal in life.
Yeah.
I want my podcasts to end up on Josh's chalkboard from the One With Podcast.
That's a lofty goal, my friend.
Dude, that's my new life goal. That's such a cool way to like promote shows you like and you know, what a mensch, you know?
Yeah, and thanks again to Josh and Melissa for coming on last week. We had such a good time.
Oh, dude, that was the best. Yeah. I felt bad because I hadn't heard their show before they came on. But yeah, I've been listening to it since. They've got a listener for life.
Yeah, awesome show. Oh, and by the way, this is the 4th of July show.
No. Nice. Happy Independence Day.
Happy. Be safe, everybody. Don't go blow your fingers off.
Have you ever seen that video of that guy that he like packed a tractor with this explosive stuff and shot at it and blew his own leg off?
No.
Oh, man. The video footage of it is not graphic, really, because you just kind of see this thing explode and then you hear him yelling. But his reaction is nuts because he's just like, oh, blew my leg off. Oh, God. Like, you would imagine horrifying screams. I don't know. This is way, way off topic. I don't know why it came into my brain.
Yeah, that was terrible for me to laugh at that. But there's something about people who do dumbass things.
Oh, we love it as a species because those people are beneath us on the evolutionary scale. Like, those are the ones that aren't going to make it. We're supposed to be happy about that. I do feel bad for those people with, like, the Darwin Awards, though.
Yeah. But oh, by the way, we just watched Idiocracy.
Oh, so good.
Okay, no, it's not a great movie, but the premise of the movie is so fantastic. And if you haven't seen Idiocracy, and like, okay, what's going on is like everyone keeps talking about, oh my God, we're living in Idiocracy. And I saw the movie like 10 years ago, but my wife hadn't seen it yet. And so we sat down and watched it with a couple neighbors of ours just, you know, to see what everybody's talking about. And I wanted to refresh my memory of the movie. The premise of the movie is responsible people wait to have kids. Stupid people fuck all the time and have shitloads of kids. And so the natural course of the world is stupid people take over the world because there are just more of them.
It's remarkable that scene with the opening scene. It's got the smart couple. And they're like, well, we're really going to wait. And then the dumb guy who's like at a party, I'm going to get all you pregnant. And it's so good. And then like the smart guy dies while masturbating.
Yeah.
I think it's a brilliant movie.
Yeah, so the smart couple never really has kids. And the dumb guy ends up like knocking up three or four different women. And
and the evolution of Fuddruckers, the name in that, it goes from Fuddruckers to just straight up buttfuckers. That's remarkable.
So if you do go check out that movie, take it in stride. It's not a great movie. I disagree.
I love that movie.
Oh, it's so not a good movie. It's such a low budget movie, but it has such great ideas in it. I feel like it could have been executed better if they had maybe a better cast and a little bit more money.
Oh man, I super disagree on this because I just think it's so perfect. Like, yeah. I love Luke Wilson. I love that cast. Dax Shepard, I think, is great in that.
Dax Shepard's pretty good, but Luke Wilson to me is just like a flatline zero in the movie, and which is what he was supposed to play. Like, he's supposed to play this remarkably average guy. And Maya Rudolph was pretty good in the movie, but I don't know. I feel like she was miscast a little bit. I don't feel like her heart was in it. It was like the premise of the movie so great, but the execution just kind of fell short.
President Camacho is remarkable, though.
Terry Crews is awesome in everything that he does.
He's so good. Hormel Camacho, isn't that his name?
I don't remember. I just saw the movie and I don't remember what his name was. I know it was President Camacho, but it could be Hormel because everything has corporate branding on it in the future. So if you want to check out a movie, it's one that's been kind of everyone's been saying about lately, especially with Trump and Hillary running for president. People are saying, man, we're turning into Idiocracy. Go check it out.
Dude, we did Tunnel Vision, which is a sketch comedy movie from the 80s on Popcorn with Candy.
Yeah.
And it's like it fills in the years between today and Idiocracy. Like, I swear to God, the premise of the movie is that there's a cable network channel, and it's causing people to become stupider and more violent.
Yeah.
And the movie is just like, here's 2 hours of programming from this network. And then it's just these absurd, vulgar sketches.
Yeah.
It really feels like it's the movie in between reality and Idiocracy.
Huh. You know what future I totally thought, or what TV show totally kind of predicted the future, I think, is, do you remember Max Headroom?
Yes, I do.
There's a bunch of stuff in that show that they nailed. You know, that show from the 80s. And like, it's kind of happening today. And you think, wow, that's very forward thinking of the writers of the show.
Dude, I don't know why, but that show doesn't seem to have made like the cultural impact that I think it should have.
I think it was too geeky.
Maybe. That explains why people that I like always bring up that show, you know?
Aw, thanks, buddy.
I didn't mean to derail the show and make it just a love fest, but you know, like, I only hear about that show from people that I like, where it's like, oh yeah, Max Headroom.
Yeah,
that was but a great. You don't really culturally, you don't hear a whole lot of people talking about it.
None of this has anything to do with any Daves.
I'm sure there's a Dave that was a grip, and he was probably remarkable.
Oh man, I'm gonna make a note. I gotta hold on. Where's my notepad? I'm gonna look up to see if there's a Dave associated with Max Headroom, just so we can talk about it on this show. Cool. All right. So let's see what happened to me this week. Okay. I've kind of figured it out how to deal with homeless people in LA. Well, okay, not the homeless problem, just like for me.
Yeah. I was like, dude, this is huge. This is bigger than the Dave podcast.
I know. It's like, I figured that out. I'm moving on to cancer next. I'm going to solve that one.
We solved that in the Dave Foley one. It's Bruce.
So I was stopping by 7-Eleven, and a couple of homeless guys were sitting out in front of 7-Eleven. Now, just to be clear, we've gone over homeless before. I'm not sure if I made the edit or not from previous episodes.
We talk about this every show, guys. We do like a half hour on bums, and then we're into Dave's.
And we are starting bum talk soon.
The weirdest. Dude, let's just get two bums to just do that show.
Hell, the homeless problem in L.A., there's a couple different kinds of homeless. There are those who actually have some sort of mental disorder, and those people need help. And then there's the people who stand at the end of a freeway off-ramp asking for money and then walk over to their Lexus and drive away. Motherfuckers. This is who I'm talking about. So there's a couple of guys who sit in front of 7-Eleven, and I park the car, and I, you know, you get that weird feeling inside of you where you're just like, fuck, you know, I want to help people. I'm really generous. I'm a super nice guy, and I help a lot of people.
I mean, who do you help giving money to them? You know, like, for the most part, if you are homeless and you have a legitimate need for stuff, there are places for you to go. There still are. The only people that are on the streets are people that have no friends, a horrible drug or alcohol problem, or extreme mental illness.
Yeah, and the people with extreme mental illness need the help. Some people don't, and these guys don't. This is the homeless guy who I mentioned before has a better iPhone than I do.
Right.
So
he's got the rose gold 6S Plus, and he's like,
okay, so I figured it out. I get out of my car, and I start limping, and I wince every step. Like, every time I hit that bad gimpy foot, I wince. And the guy looked at me, and he says, how you doing, Captain? And I said, I'm doing okay, buddy. I'm getting by. And I walk right in. Didn't ask me for a dime. Mind you, nothing wrong with my foot.
Whoa.
Absolutely nothing wrong with my foot. Get inside the store, walk around, pick up the stuff that I need, come back out. Ooh, gotta get gimpy again.
You use like acting as a skill in life.
Didn't hit me up. I think I figured it out.
The best is just saying I'm all plastic.
No, man, I always, my pat response, I can't give you money, happy to help you out with some food. But then I've been hit up, like, people say, okay, if you're going to get me a sandwich, get me some chips, get me a soda, get me this, get me that. It's like, motherfucker, I'll get you a sandwich and that's all. You're getting half a sandwich now because I'm going to eat the other half.
You gave a dude your shirt before. That's like, that's above and beyond. You're good. You can tell the next 100 to fuck themselves. Like, you've earned your karma points.
So I'll keep checking back in and let you know how the GIMP routine is working. Anything else happen?
No, man. I've had just a miserable week of just work and podcasts.
Yeah.
That's not so bad. Yeah. Let me start by throwing some love out to all these podcasts I've been listening to and then just been like, it's been miserable. No, you guys have helped me get through a horrible week, and I thank all of you. And I'm probably forgetting a few in there. But Josh, put me on your goddamn chalkboard, bro. The getting fucked up with Octopus Caveman logo is easy. The chalkboard's mostly black anyway.
Hit him up, Josh. Come on, buddy.
Let's start that Twitter campaign. Just bully Josh into You know, everybody tweet at Josh and be like, what the fuck, bro? You know,
man, we're slowly building a team of Daves. We could unleash the Dave army on Josh.
Oh, man, we're going to set our Daves on different problems. We'll solve that homeless problem eventually. We'll get enough Daves, and then we're like, hey, Daves, we got this guy Billy. He needs some place to stay.
All right, should we? Should we get into the news?
I've got some great Dave news.
I think I got a couple good ones, too.
Nice. One of these days, we're going to have crossover.
I think it might be today.
Oh, boy. Yep.
Yeah, it's today. All right, but let's hit the Dave news.
All right.
Joining us now here in Los Angeles, Dave Dave. That's his name, Dave Dave.
You know why I love the news? It's so topical.
Is your... Is one of your Dave news related to DC?
DC? Dave Chappelle?
No, just DC, the comic books.
No.
Oh, I don't think we do have crossover. This is going to be great.
All right, man. You want to go first?
All right. Not huge Dave news, but it's good to know if you're out there. Dave & Buster's is hiring 260 positions for their downtown Summerlin location in Nevada.
Nice.
Have you been to a Dave & Buster's?
I have.
I'm not super familiar with them. Like, I think I might have been there, but there's so many places kind of like that. I'm like,
yeah.
Dave & Buster's is going to be like, oh, they talked about you on the Dave Show. And then they're like, yeah, I mean, it's all right. It's no Famous Dave's. Don't get me wrong. Like, like, I love me some Famous Dave's. But Dave & Buster's, when I've been there, you know, it's been like, yeah, this is all right. Looking at the interior from their new Summerlin location, that looks pretty remarkable.
Yeah. It's a pretty cool place, especially if you're a kid of the 80s and grew up on video games. It totally reminds me of being a kid and throwing quarters into a machine and having a good time. So it's I'm down with Dave & Buster's.
Me too.
Yeah.
And so I guess this is going to be by the Summerlin Mall. And it, just that northern Nevada area is just like blowing up.
Yeah, Red Rock. It's a great area to stay in. If you want to stay close to Vegas, about half an hour outside of Vegas, great place. A lot of good hiking out there.
Yeah, it's awesome. It's beautiful. But yeah, awesome new Dave & Buster's going in there. And that's a lot of people to work at Dave & Buster's. So
yeah, that's awesome. My new story comes from comingsoon.net. Alcon Entertainment has secured exclusive rights to produce animated theatrical Garfield movies. Alcon acquired the rights from the creator of Garfield, Jim Davis, who will also serve as an executive producer. Their goal is to build a franchise of fully CG animated Garfield featured films. So we got Garfield coming back to the big screen.
So a Garfield reboot, I guess.
Yeah, but this one's going to be straight up CG animated, kind of similar to the Peanuts movie that came out last year.
Weren't they before, though?
It was like live action mixed with CG.
Oh, right. It's chipmunk style.
Right, right. This one's going to be straight up CG. And there have been some CG animated Garfield TV shows, and there was the 2D animated TV show.
The old school Garfield like specials and stuff were amazing to me. I loved them. Yeah. I loved Garfield as a kid. I'm not sure how much of an impact he's made culturally with the younger generation. I don't think this is a generation of kids that's growing up reading the funny papers like me.
I don't know, because you wouldn't think that the Peanuts movie would have done so well, and it did pretty okay.
Well, I think a lot of that is it's just an animated movie, so there's interest there.
Yeah.
If the trailer's good, you know, there's interest there. And then with the Peanuts movie, you got parents dragging their kids to it. But I don't know that I'm going to be excited to drag my son to go see Garfield when he's had a bunch of shitty releases.
Yeah, it's tough for Garfield to compete with stuff like Pixar and Ice Age and all that stuff.
Did you ever see the Garfield movie, Garfield's Nine Lives?
No.
It's remarkable. It's essentially just nine different little stories about different cats, and they're all in different animation styles and all throughout different time periods. They took Garfield and they went in this really bizarre, artsy direction with it, and it's just fantastic. It's one of my favorite pieces of animation. It's great.
Yeah, I was a huge Garfield nut when I was a kid.
Me too. We got to do Jim Davis, just nothing but Garfield talk.
Yeah. So who do you think should be the voice of Garfield if Bill Murray doesn't come back to reprise the voice?
I really doubt Bill Murray will, but voice acting stuff is so easy to do.
Yeah, the voice never really sit right with me for Garfield. I love Bill Murray, but the two together just never really fit in my head.
See, but you and I, we're so used to the guy who did the cartoon series.
Yeah. Oh, that dude. And I miss that guy so much.
Like, yeah, he also did a voice. He did like a voice on everything, but he was on Gummy Bears, the cartoon. And
yeah, he was originally the voice of the doorman on the TV show Rhoda.
Oh, really?
Yeah. You know how Rhoda would have the conversations through the intercom with the doorman? That was him.
Oh, man, that's awesome.
I'm going way back. Nobody knows what Rhoda is.
Yeah.
But the dude's name was Lorenzo Music. Super talented voice actor.
And just, like, talk about a fucking awesome name. Like, that is a panty dropper of a name.
Oh, seriously. Yeah. So who should pick up the voice?
I don't know, man. That's really tough.
It's got to be, like, someone who sounds lazy. Okay, here's one. What do you think about this one? Ryan Gosling.
Oh, man. I mean, I don't think he would do it, but he'd probably kill it.
Yeah, it's like a total different direction, but he's got like that lazy sound to his voice.
Even like a Clooney, like a monotone dude.
Oh, Danny DeVito?
Oh, Danny DeVito would be an interesting move. He might do it, too. Danny DeVito would make Garfield sound like a scumbag to me. Yeah. Like, doesn't Danny DeVito... Maybe it's just all of his seasons on It's Always Sunny, but he seems like a real piece of shit to me.
Super nice guy in real life, but really good at playing that piece of shit.
Yeah.
What do you got for another news story?
This one I think is huge. Do you know anything about DC Rebirth?
A little bit.
So, I mean, I hate to spoil the whole thing, but basically the New 52 is kind of getting a reboot, but kind of not. Right. And it ties into the Watchmen.
Right.
And just this news article was Watchmen co-creator Dave Gibbons says he was never contacted about DC Rebirth. Which is nuts to me. So, I mean, I don't want to spoil too much. I mean, the shit is out there. I'm sure people know all about it. But at the end of Rebirth, Batman finds this pin, and basically Dr. Manhattan is responsible for the New 52.
Right.
But, yeah, Dave Gibbons, in an interview with Newsarama at MCM Comic-Con, he was like, yeah, him and Alan Moore were not contacted about the inclusion of their creation into there, and he had no additional comment, which is super weird, right?
It is and it isn't, you know, because DC owns the characters, so they could do with them as they will, and you would think that they would want to keep two of their top writers happy, but yeah, it's a dick move that, you know, they've done it before, they'll do it again.
I guess. It just seems to me like that'd be one of those things where, like, hey, guys, what do you think about this? Like, you guys wrote this amazing, like, huge cultural milestone at this point. Well, it's a cultural touchstone at this point, The Watchmen.
Yeah.
Why not contact those guys and say, here's what we're thinking. What do you think?
They've moved on. I mean, not Alan Moore, but I'm saying DC has moved on without them. Aren't they working on a Watchmen sequel without them?
Oh, I didn't even hear that. That's kind of crazy. But I guess, you know, maybe I'm taking it the wrong way. Maybe Dave and Alan don't give a shit. They're like, yeah, I mean, whatever. We've moved on as well. Maybe they're writing new characters. Yeah, maybe I'm thinking about it the wrong way. Because I guess as an artist, if you create something, you just move on. Like the dude who created Aquaman fucking doesn't care anymore. Like,
yeah, and you know, unless you're like
Stan Lee. He's long dead, right?
I don't know. Yeah. I don't know.
But, yeah, I don't know that Stan Lee really cares. He's not going to write the day-in, day-out shit.
Yeah, I guess you give birth to these characters, and then you got to just let them go at some point.
Yeah, I guess I just totally changed my own mind about that news story. I started it just like, isn't this bullshit? And then I'm like, yeah, you know what? Who gives a shit?
All right, glad we could work through that one. All right, my last news story is... Okay, this one came from Chris Revel of the Let's Chat podcast, tweeted this story out, and it caught my eye. So I told him I'd give him a little mention on the show. That's the Let's Chat podcast, awesome podcast where he just interviews a whole bunch of podcasters, other people of interest from different industries. Just good show, excellent show. But this came from splitsider.com. It's been 18 years since the tragic death of legendary SNL alum, actor Phil Hartman, and to honor his memory, a fan named Dave Nelson shared a very special, never-before-heard recording that's just another example of what made Hartman a wonderful guy. In 1993, Dave Nelson sent Phil a letter, a request to record an outgoing message for his answering machine. Phil not only obliged, but gave him three additional versions that he could use. So the guy finally released this tape of that Phil Hartman left on his machine. You know, like that was like a big thing in the 90s and the 80s when you had an answering machine and you tried to come up with clever shit to put on it.
Dude, they used to sell albums of stuff just to put on there.
Nobody's home.
Yeah.
Nobody's home.
Did you ever have a funny answering machine message?
No.
Yeah, I had a few. I would play like weird songs into it, but the ones that fucking drive me crazy is like, "Hello, hello, let me turn down the radio. Oh, I'm not home." You know those ones, like the "like I fooled you" ones. Yeah. Like, fuck you. If you ever had one of those, fuck you. It wasn't funny.
Yeah,
you wasted like moments of my life, like 8 seconds at a time. Yeah.
I always loved the answering machines that where you called and they would just say,
"You know what to do. Do it at the beep."
That is such like a hardcore like fucking asshole maneuver. It's like
this is Dave, you know the deal.
I love the ones like calling my grandparents and their answering machine messages were always hilariously fucked up.
Yeah.
Just be like,
did you press the thing?
Yeah, I pressed the thing. The red light is blinking.
But you pressed the thing, so we're good, right?
Yeah. You know what? My parents still have an answering machine. They still have a landline and an answering machine.
Please tell me it's one with a little micro cassette in it.
No, it's at least it's digital. But okay, so Phil Hartman recorded a few outgoing messages. This is when he was on SNL. And here, let me play a little clip for you.
Well, Dave Nelson, my good friend, how are you? I'm going to honor your request. Why? Because you wrote such a funny letter. So let's see what we can come up with here. First, we'll do the one that you wrote. Hi, this is Phil Hartman of Saturday Night Live. Whenever I have nothing better to do, I call my close personal friend Dave Nelson. Notice you do, too. Well, I don't know how to break it to you, but Dave can't come to the phone right now because, well, he's out pursuing that busy, star-struck life of his. And, well, who can blame him? So please leave a message and he'll get back to you. Okay, that was maybe not so perfect. Now let's try something else. Hello, this is President Bill Clinton. I notice you're trying to reach Dave Nelson, but he's unavailable to come to the telephone right now. He's up in Washington with me, working on this darn economic policy. Maybe if I hadn't inhaled, I'd have been able to do better math. Please leave a message for Dave at the tone. Hey, that one was pretty good. Anyway, Dave, I hope these are of some use to you, and thank you very much for your kind letter. And I just hope you know it really feels good to know that people out there think I'm funny, and it's always special to have a fan like you. Thanks.
He's the coolest.
Yeah, super awesome guy. Just a fan sends him a letter, and he calls the dude and leaves him messages to put on his machine. Class act. So thanks to Chris Revel. Again, that's his podcast is Let's Chat with Revel and Friends. Go find that on iTunes, Stitcher, and all the places you can find podcasts.
Chris, I just gave you a subscription, and I'm going to listen to it, and I'll let you know what I think, as long as it's something nice.
All right, let's get into our featured Dave.
I'm inspired by our featured Dave because there's a lot of cock talk in this show. This is the weirdest featured Dave ever.
Dude, this is an awesome show. Like, you've never seen the show before watching this episode. What's your broad impression of the show?
Oh, man. It's a really weird experience to watch one episode. It's like season 5 or something.
Season 5, episode 19. And the show we're talking about is Rescue Me.
It was a weird experience, but I think this is probably a really good show.
Did you enjoy watching the episode?
It's tough because it was odd for me, and it's just sort of like jumping into their lives. It's a little weird to just jump in this late in the game when usually first couple of seasons, they try to make a show where you can kind of jump in at any point and follow along with it. But later seasons, it's established, you know, Klinger wears a dress, you know, they don't talk about it, right?
Yeah.
So we're in those shows where if you're not a Rescue Me fan, you're not tuning in season 5, episode 19 like I did. But I enjoyed it. I thought the writing was tremendous. I thought it was really well performed. It just kind of shocked me. I felt like I just kind of missed something, you know, not watching this when it was out.
Yeah, well, I mean, this show, by the way, we picked season 5, episode 19 of Rescue Me because the episode title is David. And this episode, I thought, was the perfect capsule if you were going to sample the show. Pretty much everything is there. All the characters, all the character flaws, all the storylines, it kind of are all there.
Is it just me, or was there a whole hell of a lot of cock talk in this episode?
There's a little bit of cock talk. There's a little bit of pussy talk. I mean, that's one of the things that was really cool about this show, because it aired on FX and they got away with so much. Like, the only word that they don't use, I think, is the F word.
Yeah. Yeah. There's definitely some strong language. I just thought it was heavy on the cock talk. Yeah, I have so many questions about this, though, just jumping in.
Okay.
Because I got like a nice little, I bought this on iTunes, so yeah. I own one episode of Rescue Me Now.
Yeah.
And there's, it had the little intro part where it's like, previously on Rescue Me. Why is Homeboy's dick orange?
Because in the previous episode, he went to go rub one out and he accidentally grabbed the self-tanner instead of the lube.
Okay, but it seemed like he was like laid up because of it.
I don't know. Actually, I got to look that up.
Because it seemed like he was like out of commission. Like, oh, you know, I mostly sit in the truck now and I ice my Johnson.
Okay. So
so out of it.
So let's give the audience a general overview of the show before we get into the details of the episode.
Let's give me a general overview of the show. All I know is there's firemen, they talk about dicks a lot, and then there's a couple of good conversations.
So Rescue Me is a show that aired for 7 years on FX. It starred Dennis Leary and a whole bunch of his buddies. John Skurdy, Lenny Clark is in there. And it basically chronicles the life of the character played by Dennis Leary. His name is Tommy Gavin. And Tommy is a firefighter and he has a whole bunch of demons. Most of them come from having lived through 9/11 and losing his cousin, who was also a firefighter. He lost his cousin in one of the towers. And so he's haunted by his cousin. Not literally. Well, yeah, literally. He sees his cousin's ghost, but in the show, you don't really know if it's his imagination or if the ghost is really visiting him. And that's what they kind of leave you with the impression of, is Tommy Gavin fucked up or is he actually seeing a ghost? That show never really solves that question.
No, and I got to tell you, that's tremendously confusing when this is your first episode. And all of a sudden a dude walks up to him and I'm like, oh no, there's going to be a weird cliffhanger ending. This dude's going to assault him or something. And then just like, no, the dude doesn't exist. Like, oh, okay, was this all a fucking dream?
Tommy turns his back and the dude's gone. Yeah, yeah. So in the episode, it's a little confusing. But yeah, I mean, the show was kind of born out of 9/11 because Dennis Leary wanted to pay tribute to the firefighters. And so the first episode is very heavy with 9/11 imagery and stuff. But it's a comedy. Like, the show is so cool in that it goes from drama to comedy. It like snap of a finger.
Turns on a dime. Yeah. It's kind of remarkable in that way.
And it works. It doesn't feel forced. It just, you go from these incredibly heavy moments to a really great joke and then right back to the heavy moment.
I got to say there's a chick in this who, she's the one that kind of talks to, I think it's the reason for the name of the show, but she talks to Dennis Leary about David Bowie.
Right.
She was the mom in Liar Liar. And I just have the weirdest little story about that. I remember watching Liar Liar, like when it first came out on video, I went and rented it, took it home, and was watching it with some friends. And I didn't realize that my dad had walked into the room. And I turned to my friends behind me and I was like, I'd bang her. And then just noticed my dad. And he just gave me like the weirdest look for that. It's like such a weird, embarrassing moment that it's just buried into my brain forever.
And he gave you a little nudge with his elbow and said, me too, son, me too.
No, not at all. Just looked at me like, who the fuck are you? Like, he just gave me the weirdest look. Like, what?
Oh, man, we were talking about Maura Tierney. She was on News Radio. She was on ER. And she had a little guest run this season on Rescue Me.
I remember her on ER smoking in like one scene. There was a scene of her stressed out smoking a cigarette out back. And you could just tell that she really smoked. And I was like, fuck yeah.
Oh, yeah. She seems like a dirty woman, doesn't she?
She didn't seem like a dirty woman. She just seems like my kind of woman who enjoy a cigarette flavored kiss. You know, Moira, if you're listening, you know, big fan from way back in the day, ask my dad. Wouldn't that be the best speech by like a dad at a wedding? Like, you know, when my son first watched Liar Liar.
He said that he'd bang her, and now look, he's marrying her.
I'm proud of you, boy. You had a dream and you chased your dream.
Oh yeah, but she's hot. Yeah. So yeah, I think I laid out all the nuts and bolts of the show. The show was created by Dennis Leary and Peter Tolan. Peter Tolan previously came from the Larry Sanders Show. So that's where the great writing comes from. But those two guys together, and you could tell Dennis Leary's rants show up in the show and some of the writing.
Yeah.
And the reason why the episode is called David is because there's a running joke through this episode where they say that Tommy Gavin looks like Opie, Ron Howard.
Right. And then other during dinner, she says he looks like David Bowie.
Right. And another firefighter said, no, man, I think you look more like David Caruso.
Oh, right. Yeah. So there are the two Davids in there. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's why this episode was named David.
There's a tremendous amount of cock talk in the beginning, though.
Hey, Agent Orange, how's your peas and carrot?
We'll go back to its normal color. I'm thinking about going to the tanning bed so that the rest of me matches my dick. Want some vitamin water? I got all kinds of flavors.
Yeah, you got any Garrity flavored? That would be orange? No?
I got blue, color of my balls.
You got any salt in the rib, that ginger dick?
But it's hilarious.
My first four notes crack me up so much. So I'm like, Von Bondi's song, right? That's note number one. The intro song is that, you would say, come on, come on, something by the Von Bondi's.
How great is that song?
It is great. It's an awesome theme song for a show, too.
Yeah, I think it's one of my favorite top 10 TV show theme songs.
It's good. And then note number two, Chick from Liar Liar. Note number three, Cock Talk. Note number four, more Cock Talk. Note number five, Orange Dick, ? They don't explain that in the like roll-in package. It's just this little thing about like, my cock is orange, and then like they don't go into it.
Yeah. Yeah, it's in the previous episode, and I tried to watch the previous episode just so I could answer these questions for you, and I fell asleep halfway through.
There is some dude talk that is like uncomfortable dude talk in this, but I kind of appreciate it because it's real. So that level of dude talk bothers me. I used to work at convenience stores, and there's a magazine rack right next to the cash register. Yeah. So dudes would come up, they'd peruse the magazines. Usually they just put it back and then they buy their shit and they go. One time a dude was there. There was some magazine that had Brooke Burke on the cover. I don't know if anybody even knows who the fuck that was, but she used to be like a host on stuff. She'd be like on the Travel Channel talking about Ibiza or whatever.
Yeah, but she hosted Dancing with the Stars for a couple seasons.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So she's on the cover of this magazine. Dude walks up and starts looking through a magazine. And if you've experienced those experiences where like guys are like, oh my God, the things I wouldn't do to her, right?
Yeah.
It was that, but the weirdest, grossest ever. He took that magazine, he pointed it at like the cover at me, like, check this out, and he just went, I'd suck the shit from her ass with a straw. I fucking shit you not. It's the weirdest, grossest dude talk I've ever heard in my life. That's how gross dudes are.
Yeah.
Well, we probably don't have a whole lot of Lady Dave listeners. Maybe there's a couple people with the last name Davis. But dudes, you know you're fucking gross. And that guy is King Gross, because that's the grossest thing you could say about a woman.
All right, so getting back to Rescue Me. I mean, this show doesn't get that vulgar, but this is definitely a dude show.
Yeah, and it does have one of the most realistic dude fights in it, this episode, where they just kind of throw each other around and wrestle and nobody gets punched. Well, that's usually how fights go down with dudes, though, you know? It's very rare. Usually, you know, one person knows how to box and it's a one-punch fight.
Yeah.
Or neither of them know how to box and you just wrestle and roll around and get red in the face and yell things.
Yeah, which was, the end of the fight was great because other firefighters in the station come in to break up the fight, and both of them were like, what took you guys so long? We could have killed each other.
I loved that. That was a great comedic moment. That was when I was just like, okay, I'm digging this show. You know, up until that point, I was just like, there's a lot of cock talk. This is weird. And then I was like, okay, this is, I'm starting to feel this show a little bit. So the one dude is getting married, and he's talking to his buddy about being the best man, and he tells the other guy to be his buffer. The whole buffer fluffer confusion was pretty funny as well.
Right, because in the episode, the best friends, Tommy Gavin and Lou, Lou's getting married to a woman who ripped him off. And so Tommy doesn't approve of the wedding. And so Lou's pissed at Tommy because he wants him to be his best man, but he can't because Tommy doesn't approve of the wedding. That's why they get into the big old fight. So he has another guy saying, okay, look, I want Tommy to be my best man, but as soon as he mouths off, you're my buffer. So I'm going to kick him out. You step in.
Right.
Yeah.
The stuff that he says to Tommy is fucking withering. Like, he says some, like, brutal shit that just tears him apart.
You know what, Tommy? I know the truth. She was a whore because she saw what she wanted, and she went and she took it. And how is that any different than you? Chasing your goddamn cousin's wife into the sack under the guise of 9/11. Or some shared experience with that day. 343 of our brothers perish. They disappear into a cloud of smoke, including your own flesh and blood. And your reaction is to bang his wife? I mean, what's that about? Or is it just that, you know, your own marriage had deteriorated to the point where you were this self-centered father who was drunk all the time, so your wife didn't want to sleep with you, so you went and you decided to bang that gorgeous brown ass that you'd probably been secretly coveting the entire time Jimmy Keefe was alive. Thou shalt not steal. That was a commandment the candy broke. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife. That was the one you broke. She did it to pay the rent. You did it just to get your goddamn rocks off.
Yeah, but that's the fucked up life that Tommy Gavin lives. This show is a soap opera. This is a soap opera for dudes.
Like, it is, and it's weird to just jump in out of nowhere, but I can get that, like, okay, he's an alcoholic. I don't think he's recovering at all. I think he's just owning it and just is one, right?
In this season, yeah. He goes through sobriety and goes back to drinking again, and yeah, he's kind of everywhere on the show.
So,
He's right. So self-destructive, makes bad life decisions. He's got a wife. Through the whole show, they're getting separated. 7 years, they're still getting separated, but they get back together to hook up. But the other thing is, Tommy also hooked up with his cousin's wife at one point.
Which is fucked. Like, he's dead, but then they kind of have this fling going together. I feel like this is the one where we're going to gain our female following because we're just like getting into this soap opera story together. But it's pretty enthralling because you're like, this guy just makes kind of like bad decisions.
Yeah.
It's kind of just like his thing. So I got to say, personally, very relatable.
But the show, he's got the music reporter too.
Music. So there's a scene with his cousin's wife where she just kind of talks about like you were trouble. And I was like, oh, fuck, man. Like, I feel like I've had this conversation with people before where it's like, yeah, you're a nice guy and all. But like, I mean, fuck, you know, there's a point in your life where being trouble is exciting to people.
Yeah.
And then there's a point where it is exhausting to people.
Yeah.
And I feel like I crossed that exciting, exhausting point maybe a couple years ago, maybe realized it a little too late.
Yeah.
So this was kind of an emotional watch for me, actually, because I did relate to Tommy and I was like, good Lord. Like, yeah, I thought this was brilliantly written. And if you really watch this, there's only four or five scenes, but yeah, they're four or five beautifully crafted, beautifully written scenes of dialogue. This is a good episode.
Yeah, this episode I feel like could be performed as a play.
Yeah, I mean it would be maybe you would be a little bit more invested, but it's sort of bizarre to jump into this world without any backstory on it, but I liked it. This is a good episode. I'm gonna have to check out more. I'm pissed because I'm trying to not care about shit, and now you're making me a Rescue Me fan.
If you did like this episode, this is a, like, it's a great show. If you like this episode, it's a good representation of the show. Now, the downside to the show is pretty much all seven seasons is like this one episode. That's the downside. The character goes through, like I was saying before, he goes through being an alcoholic to sobriety, back to being an alcoholic. He's constantly womanizing, trying to straighten it up, and then going back to womanizing. Like, there's not a lot of character growth from Tommy from all seven seasons, but the jokes are there, and mostly the show is there to write for these great, like, monologues that,
to be honest, have. To be honest, I haven't had a whole lot of character growth in the last 7 years of my life either.
So it's accurate.
Yeah, I mean, every once in a while you have a good year. I've had a good year this last year, getting into podcasting and getting honest about stuff in a really public forum has, I think, allowed me to become more self-aware and a better person. But yeah, I mean, the 7 years previous to that, not a whole lot of personal growth.
So you're saying that there's honesty in the show?
Definitely.
Yeah, which is what makes a great show.
Yeah, I like a level of realism in a show. I like that this made me think about my life.
Yeah, I actually thought that when I watched it.
You're like, I'm thinking about poor fucking drunk octopus caveman.
No, honestly, I got a little concerned. I was like, I don't know if this show is, because you and I met fairly recently. So I was like, I don't know how close to home this episode is going to hit.
Pretty close to home, but in a really good way. I mean, I'm not one to run away from things that'll affect me emotionally.
Yeah.
I don't know that we've ever had a Dave this serious, but this feels nice, doesn't it?
Yeah.
But yeah, no, it hit close to home, but in a good way. And I just thought, like, this was really well done, and weirdly pretty well done by Dennis Leary, who, you know, to me, his acting performances are like as the, like, pissed off dude in Demolition Man.
Pretty much, yeah. I mean, he doesn't have a lot of range as an actor, but he's basically playing a character that's very close to himself. So, well, I mean, not in his personality, but just in his mannerisms. So I don't think this was a huge acting stretch for him.
Have you watched his music video for I'm an Asshole?
Oh, yeah.
It's so good.
Yeah. Yeah. Not Dennis Leary doesn't get enough credit for being one of the smart comedians out there.
I like him. I think his downfall is being similar enough to Bill Hicks that he gets shit for it.
Could be. Yeah.
I feel like the comedy world dumps on him, right? So now we're in nerd comedy era where every comedian has a podcast and is, you know, full of other comedians' references. And I think he gets lumped into this group of comedians like Jay Leno, where he's like, oh, well, he's mainstream or whatever. And he doesn't get love from the hipster generation.
Well, Dennis Leary was edgy at the time.
He was, and then he started doing shows like his cop show and then Rescue Me.
Yeah.
And then it was like, man, this dude ripped off Bill Hicks, and he started getting the bullshit.
This show is artistic. If you watch the next I think it's either the next or the previous episode, but it starts off with this long, like, 5-minute montage of him walking through tragedy, but it's just this nice, really cool art piece of his life. I was like, just thinking, man, this show just really put it out there to do some really cool stuff. I really dug this show. Although after 7 seasons, I got to be honest, I got a little tired of it, but I stuck it through to the end.
Does it have an interesting wrap up?
A satisfying wrap up.
Okay. Yeah. All right. So who does Tommy end up with? Cover your ears, guys, if you don't want to hear.
I believe Tommy ends up with his, I've already spoiled this episode, but yeah, spoiler alert. I believe Tommy ends up with his wife.
Oh, that's good. I mean, his wife isn't in this episode, but in the little roll-in package, you know, he's kind of talking to his cousin's wife, and he's like, well, if I pick her, is it his cousin's wife?
Yeah, his dead cousin's wife.
Right, so he's like, if I pick her, or she comes with the kids or whatever, and I kind of like that choice.
Yeah, because they're fighting. The two women are fighting over him, and he has to pick which one to be with. Finally, at the end of the season or end of the show, he sticks with his wife. And should I reveal another big heartbreaker from the end of the series?
Yeah.
Okay. If you don't want to hear this, you got to skip ahead maybe 30 seconds. Just hit that 30-second skip now. Okay, so he Lou dies.
And then who's Lou?
his fat buddy.
Oh, fat buddy. Okay, I think I could have seen that coming.
Yeah, Lou dies, and he becomes the new ghost that kind of hangs out with Tommy.
All right.
Yeah, he's a guy. Okay, so he's a guy who's haunted by the ghosts of his past.
Right. So they've done that visually to represent that he's sort of emotionally, spiritually haunted and has a hard time letting go, and thus symbolize the alcoholism and things like that, right?
Exactly. And also, by the way, how great is his family?
It's pretty remarkable.
The family in the bar where they're just great. Drinking, fighting. That's the other thing that's great about this show. They don't shy away from ethnic stereotypes. They embrace it and make fun of everybody.
Yeah, I think that's a very Boston thing. But generally, TV Boston, they show it to be like, oh, we're embracing everybody and we make fun of everybody. You know, we'll bust your balls whether you're Italian or Jewish or black or Mexican. No, but real Boston, super big racists. It wouldn't be this like loving busting balls. They would just be dropping N-bombs and being horrible to people.
Yeah. You know, and their family shows up in the bar during the wedding and they're just like drinking their asses off. They won't leave the bar so they can have the wedding. But there is a touching moment. Like, you go through this episode that's just raucous, it's foul, it's sexy, it's clever. And at the very end, you get this really sweet, tender moment where...
When the dude's talking to the kid?
I'm not making a mistake with this.
I think you're doing the right thing. I mean, it's very...
Yeah, it's going to be great.
You know, it's...
Oh, all right, drive safe. All right.
Careful. Get out of here.
Thank you.
Goodbye. Buckle up. Fresh Chicago.
Forget about the blue laws.
Oh.
Yeah.
Son.
Yeah. All right.
Ten to one, it doesn't last a year.
A year? I don't give them to the end of the block.
I'll take some of that action.
You sent your parents off like this. Well, almost like this. Back then, the Redmen didn't have casinos, so we sent them down to AC. Instead of a rent a car, we scraped up a couple of bucks and got them bus tickets. But you know, they would fall off their feet in love with each other. True soulmates. Yeah. I tell you, it was really something to see, kids. Beautiful. Just amazing, right, T?
Yep.
Now let's go get shattered.
Oh, yeah.
That was sort of a sweet and touching moment.
Yeah, it's a very blue-collar, everyday, good people, like salt-of-the-earth kind of people. It's oh, man, I just love that scene.
I think this was a good show. And this was a very good primer for what it probably will be. It's a good intro. Yeah. 5 seasons and 19 episodes into it.
Yeah.
But I do think it's neat talking about it that it's not as soap opery as soap operas get, because I was married to a woman who loved soap operas, and those backstories are more bananas than comic book stories. It's like, who's that guy? Well, he's in love with her, but, you know, he used to have cancer, and then, well, no, he had cancer twice. And then one time he had amnesia, and then another time those soap opera backstories are bananas. Guys want to say they don't like soap operas, but we all kind of like soap operas. We all like drama.
Yeah. Oh, and this is a guy's drama. This is a guy's soap opera.
Right. It's drama with cock talk.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. New tagline for the podcast. Dave, drama with cock talk. I loved this. I don't think I ever, ever, ever would watch this show had it not been for having an episode named David. But I've enjoyed this episode, and I think I'm going to check out more.
Cool, man. I mean, yep. Expect more of the same. But it's if you like this, you will like the series. It's solid. Oh, you know what? One other criticism I would have about the show, though, I don't think the women are written very well.
That's a really good point. That's a really good point. So we have pining woman for woman pining for her ex-husband. We have slutty cougar, right?
Right.
even though she says I'm a completely different animal. Yeah. And then we have boy, it's tough to categorize. The best written woman is the cousin's wife.
Just in this episode, she comes off as sane. In all the other episodes, she's a nutbag. And I think that's the one disservice this show does, that they try to write strong female characters and they seem to confuse being sexy and dominating your sex as power.
I tend to dislike that, where it's like, I'm a strong female character because I can totally have a one night stand and throw back a beer with the boys, you know?
Yeah, that's the kind of woman that he's written. In every season, there's always a different woman. One season it was Gina Gershon. One season it was Marissa Tomei. And it's kind of the same one-note female character that he brings on. So that's one downside to the show.
Yeah, brassy ball-busting broads. Boy, I mean, Gina Gershon and then Moira Tierney. And I mean, it seems like there's a trend there. Like somebody just had like a thing for like brassy brunettes and was like, put these ladies on the show, make them my romantic lead. Let's see what happens. Because they're kind of a type. Like if you were looking for whatever that type of woman was, like those three women would show up in that audition, right?
That's a good point. Even though they look nothing alike, but that is, you're right, it's a type.
Gina Gershon, I think, is weirdly underrated because she's weirdly good in Showgirls. Like, Showgirls is not a great film, but she's good in that film. You know, like, where'd this come from? We got, like, a good acting performance in this cheesy bullshit movie, right? Yeah.
Oh, I totally dig Gina Gershon.
Yeah, and then Marissa Tomei, I think, is a little bit overrated. Like, that Academy Award, that wasn't super deserved.
No. For My Cousin Vinny, no.
Even though she's great in that, but she just, that's not an Academy Award winning performance.
You didn't see it. I was going to say, how good did she look in Captain America 3, but
I haven't seen it, but it really makes me feel like an old man that she's Aunt May. That's nuts.
They're going with a young Aunt May on this one. In the movie, they call her your weirdly hot aunt.
I don't like that one bit. Aunt May needs to be ancient.
I'm okay with changing it up. I'm okay with that. They had the old ancient Aunt May for a few Spider-Men. You know, it's kind of like the same way. I don't feel like they've ever really captured Alfred. Like, they've never had a bald guy with a mustache play Alfred in any of the movies. But it's like, go with a good actor. You know, I'll take what I can get, just as long as it's good. All right, so should we wrap that up and get into Dave of the Week?
Yeah, let's do Dave of the Week. I think I have the perfect Twitter Dave to be our Dave of the Week.
Okay, so you got a good one. What do you got for our Dave of the Week?
I think we have to go with a fellow podcaster. I think we got to go Crazy Dave.
Okay.
@_DaveDog. @_DaveDog. He's on the podcast Just Guy Talk. Cool. And apparently part of Blue Streak Radio, owner-operator of Blue Streak Radio. I haven't had a chance to check out Just Guy Talk. I'm looking forward to checking it out.
Dave has actually a couple of shows. He also has the Dave Dog Experiment.
Awesome. Yeah. So I just thought we got to throw it out to another podcaster, Dave. If we're not going to do a Dave off, let's just do a solid follow that Dave, you know?
Right on. So follow that Dave. What was his Twitter address again?
@_DaveDog.
Right on. And check out his podcasts, The Dave Dog Experiment and
Just Guy Talk.
If you can't find either of those, look up Blue Streak Radio and both of those shows will show up under that feed.
@BlueStreakRadio or BlueStreakRadio.com.
Oh, if you're looking for it like on Stitcher or iTunes, look up Blue Streak Radio and both of those. Yeah, those shows and a couple of other ones should show up on that feed.
So I haven't checked it out, but Crazy Dave is definitely one of those dudes we got to have on here at one point.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll reach out to him at some point in the future. I did listen to one of his shows earlier today, and I enjoyed it, so.
Oh, good. So I don't have to be embarrassed if I hate it later and be like, I gave him a plug.
No, he's good. He's a solid Dave. He's good.
Good. I'm so worried. I'm going to give one of these Daves a plug and then check out their podcast. And he's just like, all hail Satan. We're here to talk about how we, you know.
All right.
We can sort out what we want to do next week.
Oh,
later.
Okay. Oh, you know what we got? Next week, we're going to do Dave Thomas from SCTV.
I might get confused and throw in some Dave Thomas Wendy's facts.
I mean, Dave just Thomas from SCTV opened Wendy's in 1967. He was drunk from drinking all that Canadian beer, which is how we got the square hamburger patty.
That's got to be it, right? He saw the circular hamburger patty and was like, take off, you hoser. Cut him into a square.
Oh, you know, we got back bacon that's a circle, eh? So maybe we should go square with the hamburger patty. That seems really like a really good idea, eh? All right. So we're going to do Dave Thomas from SCTV. We're going to be joined by Ryan Bunnell from the Mr. BS Show. So I'm really looking forward to having him on.
That's going to be great. And very hopefully we'll be joined by Tracy Morgan as well, who has talked to Dave Thomas for her upcoming book, Searching for Candy. She's writing about John Candy. She's fantastic.
Right. And Tracy Morgan, the author, not Tracy Morgan. I'm going to get you pregnant, Tracy Morgan. Not that one.
Yes, the beautiful female British. Tracy Morgan. Yeah.
All right. So if you want to follow us over on Twitter, you can find us at Dave Podcast or at Green Korean One. And you want to throw yours out there too, or should we?
I don't give a shit.
You'll see at Octopus Caveman out there. He's very active. As soon as I hook onto a Dave, he jumps right in.
Y'all don't want to follow me. I tweet too much. I got told that this week.
I think you tweet just the right amount, buddy.
Somebody was like, I was going to follow you, but you tweet too much. And I was like, yeah, I accept that.
Nope. You keep on going. You keep on trucking, buddy. Our website is davepodcast.com. And our email address is dave@davepodcast.com. Do I even need to do email address anymore? Do people email?
I only email for work. And like, if I have to, if it's like, you know, super urgent, but, yeah, I don't know. Maybe some people do. I don't know. You know, some people still have septic.
Some people still have answering machines.
Yeah, that's true.
All right. So this is for my mom and dad. Mom, dad, if you want to email me, you can reach me at dave@davepodcast.com. All right, buddy.
The email is, I mean, you got to shout out the email because how else are we going to get Dave dick pics?
Again, send those Dave dick pics to @OctopusCaveman
yes! on Twitter. I will rate them 1 out of 4 Daves.
All right, buddy. Another fantastic time hanging out with you.
Like sands through the hourglass, these are the Daves of our lives. Put me on your chalkboard, Josh.
We are the Daves he knows, he knows. We are the Daves he knows.
These are the Daves I know, I know.
We are the Daves he knows.
These are the days.